We're talking with Joe Macri and John Davidson, who are principals in Davidson Macri Sweeping Company in Seattle. They're actually in Bellevue, which is a suburb of Seattle, and they're our featured contractor of the month. They've been in business since 1993. This is their 15-year anniversary this year in 2008. Welcome, John and Joe. Let's get started with how the business started. John, I think you were the guy that was involved the most. Tell me, if you would, what got you into sweeping in the first place?
Well, actually, I didn't have any plans to get into it. I didn't know sweeping industry even existed, to tell you the truth. I was doing some work for shopping centers in Upper Atlanta. Somebody asked me if I would do their sweeping, and I literally asked them, what do you mean? And the next thing I knew, I had a little kind of home-built Timco 210 and started doing that, and ended up buying an old model, 1972 model, and started doing construction sweeping, and then got one that got involved in a construction company, and kind of took off from there. I had met Joe, who I'll let him tell the story, but he was the operations manager for an established company here in the area. And after knowing each other for a couple of years, we went into partnership. So I'll let Joe take it from there.
All right, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I've been an operations manager for another company, and decided to either go out on my own or take a partner. I had known John from as an acquaintance, really. Went to a Northwest Sweeping convention up in Everett, and we went there together, and like John, and we had looked at some equipment that the other company had for sale and decided not to buy it, and I knew he was smart then. And later on, we got together, and I had a lot of contacts in the parking lot business, and we went together and started Davidson Macri.
How many pieces of equipment do you have today on the sweeping side of things?
About 35, probably.
And you handle indoor scrubbing as well as parking lot sweeping and street sweeping and construction sweeping, is that correct?
That's correct, Scott.
What do you think has been responsible for your growth from being a relatively, a startup company to having 35 pieces of equipment just on your sweeper side?
I think a lot of our growth was through word of mouth, and when we say something, we're going to do something, we do it, and I think that word got around, and people started calling us and using us because they knew they could depend on us.
Yeah, I think that's true, and also Seattle, through the 90s, had a huge growth spurt, so we jumped right on that. But I think Joe's right. It is our commitment to service. When a customer asks us to do something that's impossible, we figure out a way to do it. You make a lot of friends that way, and they call you back.
What do you do when they want services other than sweeping? My understanding is that you have really keyed in on every aspect of sweeping, as well as have a water division with water trucks and sewer cleaning and that sort of thing that we won't really get into. But since you don't do a number of allied services like graffiti removal or seal coating or striping, those sorts of things, what do you do when customers call and want that to take place?
Well, we don't get a lot of calls for that. That's why we're not interested in going off. And we do have a couple of references to get them. But primarily what we've done is responded to our customers' needs. If we've been getting a lot of pressure to go into striping or seal coating or CD removal or any of the other things, asphalt repair, we'd probably get in that. That's why we have a fleet of water trucks and stuff to control. Either the construction should go needed it. And so we provided it. We would do that, and they would go find somebody else. And same thing with the drainage division and cascade cleaning. all of our personal customers and needed that done. More and more customers are using it for either excavation or facility locating. So we've responded to what the customers have asked for. I guess that's it on our call.
Have you seen any kind of a big switch over toward air sweepers? I know you're in the Seattle area in the Northwest. It's very environmental. Is there any kind of a customer-driven movement toward more air sweepers use whenever that's possible?
Yeah, definitely. Years ago, we tried to put regenerative air machines out on construction jobs. Contractors just threw a fit and wouldn't even let us bring them. And then all of a sudden, it became the buzzword around here that the inspectors that were out on their jobs would back and forth to pick up more fines. And all of a sudden, that's all they wanted. So we did a big switch. We were got almost 100% room. And now I think we are about 70% air and 30% room. So it's completely flip-flop on.
Right, and that's something that we'll probably see the progression moving more and more from both coasts toward the center of the country, as usually occurs over time. I know that you have one of the more coveted clients in the Seattle area, Microsoft's campus. Joe, can you tell me how that occurred, how you're able to bag that particular elephant, and what it's like working with a really large company?
It's nice to have an account like Microsoft. I have to say that. It's a difficult account to service because it's very demanding. And the players change constantly, so you have a new boss quite a few times. I think in our progression, we've gone through 12 bosses. We went a short time where we didn't have the account, but got it back. I've had it again now for approximately 2 years. Before that, we were the only company that ever serviced Microsoft. It's quite a large campus. It takes a lot of manpower. It's very environmentally sensitive. They like to keep everything nice and orderly and neat, so it requires constant communication with the manager who's ever in charge at that time. Right now, the way Microsoft works is they have a bunch of different managers managing sections of their campus that all answer to one head manager. And so, consequently, you end up having quite a few different people to answer to, and you have to make sure that your quality is up to snuff for everybody. One difficult thing about Microsoft is that they have used up all the land that they occupy, so garage sweeping is a huge factor for Microsoft. They have immense garages that run underneath all the buildings, and they're all interconnected. It's like a little city under the ground. It's kind of confusing and difficult for drivers to remember where they've been. They need to leave a little breadcrumb trail to find out where they've been. So not only do we sweep the campus, and it's set in a natural area surrounded by trees and evergreens, which drop a lot of needles and account for a lot of natural debris. We're constantly underground sweeping the underground parking garages too. We have one or two trucks on the Microsoft campus every night. It's nice to have a big account like Microsoft. It's a challenge, and it's a good account, but it's good to diversify your parking lot business and have a lot of different accounts too. So we have quite a few routes out at night, and don't try not to put all our eggs in one basket.
And what occurred when you lost to Microsoft? Was that price or quality, would you say?
What happened when we lost Microsoft for a couple of years was a new property management came into Microsoft and decided that they were going to put everything out to bid, and we were underbid substantially by another company. But I think reality set in, and they asked us to come back.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good lesson for anybody that is just having a normal profit. They're not gouging the customer, but they lose the account, is to have the strength of resolve to realize that, you know, the best way to go broke is to get all the low bids. Anticipate that there's not another company out there that can provide top quality service at that lower price, or you'd have been able to do it yourself.
Well, we also had the advantage of being the first people to ever sweep the sod. We kept the records on how long it takes to sweep it. We knew how long every section of the campus took to sweep. We knew what our profit margin had to be, and we did it accordingly.
And we adjusted it if we found out we were making too much money, if we did such a thing, several times. We were constantly improving our service and at a lower cost to the customer.
Every new property manager who came in seemed to want to set a different kind of budget for the service. So we were asked to come up with a custom plan to sweep Microsoft within budget constraints. And so John and I put our heads together and we went over every section of the campus and decided which was the dirtiest, which was the cleanest, and how often the section could be swept and still maintain a standard that they wanted.
That was several years ago. It would be a lot more difficult now because they've built so many new buildings. I don't know what they're up to now, 100 buildings.
My goodness, that is certainly a significant account for you. Where do you see the your business heading in the future? Do you see any other offshoot areas, or what do you see the future of sweeping in the Seattle area?
Well, I think we're going to see continued growth, probably not like we've seen before. In the last 10 years, obviously, there's been a huge surge in residential, and with the housing downturn, the residential might take a bit of a hit, but we're kind of flip-flopping into the commercial office space, high-rise, record number of tower cranes up building, high-rise buildings. So we're pretty heavily involved in that. Expect that to last several years. The parking lots, obviously, basically unlimited. Whatever you think you can handle, and how many salespeople you get out there, and schedule your growth. Having a good strong reputation and good references, that a lot easier for us. We've expanded pretty heavily into the parking lot division pretty heavily over the last several years, and expect to continue doing that. The construction is more cyclical, so we'll see what happens there, but I think that with our base customers, we'll probably continue to see increases there, and the factory is expanding quite a bit. There's a lot of opportunities there, especially with the rain that, we get here, and the environmental concerns, all the drains need to be cleaned more often, and it's under stricter and stricter regulations there, so we expect to see growth there as well.
Let's talk about machines for a moment. What have you found will work to be a parking lot machine and a construction machine? What do you do in that regard? Or do you find that you have to separate out your fleet to a construction fleet and a parking lot fleet completely? Where I'm headed here. If somebody is in parking lot sweeping and they hope to expand into construction sweeping, so they need equipment that will, to start with, maybe go both directions. What would you recommend for them?
Something probably a wind machine that can run dual gutter broom. A number of them on the market, they're kind of a crossover machine. And then we use our big construction vacuum, especially during the fall. Leaf pickup, go in and clean big areas with those, and then let the smaller one. I'm working hard here at naming brands, plugging one machine over another, because as we've had almost everything there is out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to
Have you found that, I know that you run some single engine machines, have you found the fuel savings to be what you expected to be out of that?
You know, I wish I could say that we track fuel savings as rigorously as we probably should, but we do it more on cost basis. And I think that we definitely have seen fuel cost reductions, but more than that, we've seen, I think, reduced maintenance and downtime because of simplicity.
Let's speak to the other part of your business that we haven't talked about, which is Sweeper Market. You are also the owners of Sweeper Market Magazine, which is a wonderful publication of used equipment that comes out monthly. With your main man, Mark Moyer, I know, at the helm of that, and he does a fantastic job for you. How did that occur? I know the details, but I'm sure most of our listeners don't.
Sweeper Market started out as the used sweeper newsletter. It was a publication put out by Bill Riddle. It was more of a pamphlet used to put buyers and sellers together. When John and I first got in the business together, we used that to purchase new equipment. The economy in Washington was real good, and there was no other venue really for buying used equipment. The internet hadn't become available, and it was really one of the only good avenues to find used equipment. And upon Bill Riddle's passing, we failed to get it, and inquired and actually talked to his estate and ended up purchasing the magazine from Bill Riddle's estate. Brought it home and really didn't know anything about publishing the magazine, but we decided that it was a valuable resource and somebody had to do it, so we might as well put it over.
I figured, you know, how tough did that be? We found out.
Hey, they're still finding out, probably.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of work, but it's been a lot of fun, too. Completely different from what the rest of the business.
Well, I'm sure that there are a number of contractors out there that at this point probably secretly think, oh, that's where all the cream puff sweepers go. Those guys can have them at Davidson Macri when they come in to use sweeper.
Every once in a while that's true, Andrew, but we can't buy every good sweeper that comes along.
I know, and that's...
We'd have a lot more than we could buy that.
That's for sure.
But Mark does get his first crack at something wrong.
Well, and as it should be, you work very hard to keep both of those organizations together. What other kind of advice would you have for sweeping contractors out there that are running a 1, 2, 3 sweeper outfit? How can they expand their business and in general terms? And get larger. How can they add routes and afford to add sweepers and that sort of thing? What's the first thing you would suggest to do when they want to expand? They're pretty much at capacity with the sweepers that they have. What's the next step?
I would say you ask your existing customers what else they need, what are the services they require, and then pick what you think you can provide for them, or what you have some background in, and try and build it up that way. I think also it's important to have a long enough outlook for your business. We've always encouraged you to thought that if you aren't planning 20 years down the road, you're not thinking far enough ahead. So you need to figure out where you want to be in 20 years and then start doing, implementing what you need to do to get there. A lot of it, of course, depends on location and what possibilities somebody in a rural area, several small towns around, isn't going to be planning on the types of roads that somebody in L.A. or New York or maybe Seattle here or something I'll be able to do, but you still have a long-term plan for growth or for, you know, to say, I think business will be stable if I get four parking lots. We set a plan, and then figure out how you're going to get there. Every situation is different. Every location is different. Every person has got their strengths and weaknesses. We're both very service-oriented. You know, the customer says jump, and we ask how high. And that has been, I think, our strongest.
Well, one of the things that I would say I've recognized with you is I've called this sometimes and found that, you know, you guys are out on the job working, and you're not afraid to do that. So that's something that is very key, I think, in your own particular situation, is that you guys are continually willing to stay on the job. You're not sitting in some glassed-in office and expecting that your workers are out there doing what needs to be done. I know you're constantly inspecting and taking the wheel if that's what needs to be done, and I think that's one of the key reasons for your long-term success.
Well, it certainly changed. I mean, we were trying to run the business from the seat of a sweeper for years and years, and well, now we're spending a lot more time in the office than we are out in the sweeper. But yeah, we still are out there and familiar with the use of equipment, use driver, and you know, I think that is really important.
I think that also that our customers know who we are. Even though we're not on the job every day, we communicate with our customers. I think communication is a big, big factor. I think you know, when they call the office, they still talk to John and Joe. They don't talk to a stranger who tries to solve their problem. They're still directly involved in the day-to-day operation in every way.
Yes, I think that is that's a key that every sweeper owner operator should remember is they're not ever going to be a sweeping company owner. They're always going to have that operator tag there too when it needs to be done. And that gets the customer satisfied. You need to do whatever it takes to do that.
I think it's part of service. It's just part of what you do.
Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts of things that you'd like to put in here that might be of assistance to other contractors out there?
Well, I think what I said before with communication, I think that make sure your customers know who you are. Make sure you communicate with them, make sure you tell them if there's a problem, make sure you always do the right thing. If you have a problem on their property, that they know that you step up to the plate and do the right thing and take care of the problems you encounter.
Yeah, I think, you know, as things have changed, Ranger, communication has become easier. There's, you know, email, Excel walkie-talkies. Most of our customers, construction crews have got both our direct connect numbers and call us directly on the parking lot side. Each lot, almost all the customers emailed each time. There's a lot of swept, you know, GPS tracking where there's any disputes. You can send them a map showing that we were actually there, you know, what time we were there. It also helps with construction. You need to keep up with that sort of thing. And maybe not be, you know, the latest and greatest, technologically advanced sweeping company in the world, but you need to take advantage as your customer's expectations go up, and you need to accommodate that. If they expect to hear every time that their lot is swept, we'll figure out a way to do it. You know, leaving a card in the door still works for some. Others want to be emailed. But, you know, I agree with Joe. I think communication is vital.
again is to get you onto a first name basis with your customers, and that I think is probably one of the most important aspects of building a business. And, that's who they're going to call when they get into building or take over management or something. You're the first person that's going to come to their mind.
It's relationships that you're building, not just providing a service, but providing a relationship that people can count on.
That's right.
If they have an emergency, they know that you're going to bend over backwards and try and solve it for them. We recently had floods. Well, we were out, 24 hours a day doing whatever we could to help a lot of people and solve their problems. That's basically what a service company does, solve problems. And if you do it well, they remember that.
Mm-hmm. And do you have GPS on all your sweepers or just some of the fleet?
We have it on our phones. Through Nextel.
Oh, I see, right.
So as each driver logs in, got a record.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's as great as full-time GPS in the trucks, but it works better for us where we have trucks working multiple shifts and drivers in and out of them.
Mm-hmm.
We can track the drivers rather than the vehicles.
Well, all right. I certainly appreciate your time here to help talk to some of the other contractors in the country about what has made Davidson Macri successful. And I also appreciate the efforts that you put into the Sweeper Market publication.
Well, thanks, Ranger. It's been fun.
And I think this is the time that I'd like to bring up so that it'll be here for posterity. I know that I talked to you about being the January featured contractor of the month, and I also know that Joe is trying to decide whether he should go to National Pavement Expo or not, but let me tell you that you've actually been chosen to receive the WorldSweeper.com Award of Excellence in Sweeping for 2008.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
That's pretty out of date.
And as a result, this interview will air in February when you've received the award at the Nashville show, and you'll be our featured contractor of the month for February 2008. So, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ranger. Yeah.